Good morning. Let me ask a question as we start this morning. How many of you like to eat? Raise your hands. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. How many of you like to be invited over to somebody's house to eat dinner with them? Raise your hand. I think all of us this morning are like Jesus because Jesus loved to eat. As every preacher would say, Jesus never turned down a dinner invitation. And when you're reading through the Gospel of Luke, Luke notes more than any other gospel writer how much Jesus enjoyed going to people's homes. It is central to the way he just weaves his story of Jesus. One of those stories is one that I would like to share with you this morning from Luke chapter 7. In this particular story, there is a Pharisee who we will learn later, his name is Simon. And Simon, who is this Pharisee, invites Jesus over to dinner at his house. So, as is typical in those settings, because a man of that prominence and wealth, he would have a big house with a courtyard with rooms that would be offset from that courtyard. And the guests would come in and they would be at the table. They were low couches of which their feet would be out from beside them. Well, there's a woman, that Luke says, who has lived a sinful life, which is basically a metaphor. She is a woman of the night. She's a lady of the night, of which all the villagers know about her lifestyle. Well, she learns that Jesus is going over to this Pharisee's house, and so she makes her way into that courtyard among all these guests. And something dramatic happens. While Jesus is at the couch and he is eating, this woman comes over beside him and she is weeping. She is weeping so intensely that her tears are falling on Jesus' feet. And then she does something very remarkable. She undoes her hair and she takes her hair and she wipes Jesus' feet. And then, as Luke has already told us in that story, that she has an alabaster jar of perfume. It's from alabaster in Egypt. It is an extravagant perfume. And so now, having wept over Jesus' feet and wiped Jesus' feet, she has kissed Jesus' feet, and she breaks this alabaster jar of perfume onto his feet. Now, when Simon sees this, he's thinking to himself, if this man was really a prophet, if he was a prophet, he would know who this woman is that is touching Jesus and what kind of life that she has lived, that she is a sinner. Jesus, knowing what Simon is thinking, says to Simon, "Simon, I have something to tell you." And he says, "Tell me." There were two men who owed great sums of money to a money lender. One owed 500 days' wages, 500 denarii. Another owed 50 days' wages, 50 denarii. And neither one of those men with those debts had enough money to pay back the moneylender. The moneylender decided to cancel the debts of both of those men. Now, which of them do you suppose loved the most? And Simon says, "I suppose it would be the one who had the greater debt canceled." Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you did not provide water for my feet, for me to be able to wash my feet. And this woman has cried and wept over me with her tears and has wiped my feet with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss me, kissing my feet. And you did not give me oil for my head, but this woman has broken this jar of perfume and anointed my feet. I tell you, her many sins, and they are many, they have been forgiven, for she loves much. Because he who has been forgiven little loves little. And he turns to the woman and he says, Your sins are forgiven. And the crowd all around, all those in the midst of that house, they say, who is this? Who is this? Who would even forgive sins? And Jesus says to this woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I love a good story. It's a great story. But sometimes you might miss the story. Because in this story, because Luke tells the story backwards, that you might miss what's going on in the story. Simon, the Pharisees, and those Pharisees who would have been there, they're trying to humiliate Jesus. They're trying to disgrace him. They do not have a high opinion of him. And what they have done, Simon as the leader, inviting Jesus to the house, that he has not done what is customary, what are the social mores of that time. Because when you would go to be a guest of some house, there is water provided for your dirty feet, and a kiss was given. If somebody would come in the house, if you kissed them right on the lips, that meant that they were family. If you kissed them on the cheek, that meant that they were equal to you. If you kissed them on the hand, that meant that they were subservient. You were, as a host, were subservient. If there's a kissing of the feet, a prostration like what you see from this prostitute, it's a sign of royalty and accepting somebody who is kingly. And so what they have done is they have invited Jesus and they've insulted him. They've disgraced him. And they did it purposefully. And in this story, there is this sinful woman. Everybody knew her life, knew what she had done. And that's why Simon is thinking, if he was a prophet, if he really was a prophet, he would know who this woman is, what kind of life she's lived. Well, this woman has seen what has gone on. And she's already brought this alabaster jar, and she sees the humiliation of what they had perpetrated. But she's not going to stand idly by. And what she does, as you see that Jesus understands that they have broken the customs, you know, he says over and over again, reiterating, Simon, you did not. You didn't give me water. You did not give me a kiss. You did not give me oil. Look at what this woman did. Do you see this woman? This woman, in the midst of all these villagers, she has honored Jesus. And so Jesus, seeing what she has done, tells this story to Simon. Who would love the most? Do you see this woman? This is the woman who loves the most. Why? Because she has had the greater debt canceled. Because when there is a heart that is filled with gratitude and appreciation, it's a recognition of how terrible one's sins have been. Her many sins have been forgiven. It's already past tense. The woman's sins have already been forgiven. That's why she comes into the house. Jesus probably has already encountered her. And so she comes to show her love and her gratitude, her appreciation. She loves much because she has been forgiven much. Everything she does is showing her love and appreciation for Jesus, even to the extent that when she is weeping, And crying out of that sense of gratitude, she undoes her hair. In Jewish custom, a woman, after her wedding night, pinned up her hair and never let her hair down in public again because it was provocative. It was only done for her husband. When she undoes her hair and wipes Jesus' feet, this is unseemly. This is recognizing that Jesus, as you would see, from a prostitute standpoint, this is my bridegroom. He has loved me and accepted me, and he has forgiven me. Do you see this woman? Why is it that Simon cannot see? Because when he sees her, he sees her past, and Jesus sees her future. He sees through the smugness of his own heart. His religious arrogance. It's not that he and Jesus have some disagreement about whether she has sinned. That is all through the text. It's his attitude. This woman is penitent and confessing and acknowledging her sinfulness. And out of that, she loves, and she loves deeply. Many years ago in the 90s, I preached for a church that was close to downtown Houston. And I did not know when I started preaching for the West University Church, which I learned through the years later, that many of the members of churches from the outlying areas and the suburban areas would come to me for counseling because they could keep their life anonymous to their home churches. So I counseled with a lot of people who commuted into and worked in the city downtown area. One woman in particular, I'll never forget. She came into my office and she never ceased to stop crying. Just as you see from this sinful woman. And what had happened in this particular woman's life, in her office situation, she had been tempted and engaged in a long, long affair with a lawyer. And back in those days, in terms of the computers, she used floppy disk, and she wrote love letters to this business lawyer. One day, she had not hidden her floppy disk, and her husband had, because he was going through and preparing taxes for the family, picked up this floppy disk and inserted it into the computer. And then all of a sudden, all these love letters appeared, of which he had no knowledge of this long, sordid affair that was going on between his wife and this man. She was found out. She now realizes that she is going to possibly lose her husband and her family. And she comes to me seeking and wanting to know grace and forgiveness. And she was desperate, absolutely desperate, to be able to keep her family intact. And so we walked through the episode and grace of God. And I thought as she left my office, and what I learned later, she went forward in her own home church on her own decision, that if that husband would embrace her and receive her and take her back, that I suspect that he would be loved as he has never been loved before. Why? Because this woman knew the grace of God, that she had been forgiven, and she wanted from her husband that grace. Sometimes it's not about the terribleness of what we have done or said. Sometimes it's because we go to services and classes that we struggle about whether or not that we're good enough in God's sight. And it's almost as if we have this idea that you have to be perfect to be loved. I was conducting a memorial service, a graveside service, in Houston one time, and it's one of our elderly sisters who had passed away, and I asked at the graveside if any of the family members would like to share any episode or story about their loved one. And this niece raised her hand and she said, "I'd like to tell a story about my aunt." My aunt struggled all of her Christian life about whether or not she was good enough. She had this idea that she had to be perfect to be loved. And she struggled about whether God was gracious and loving enough to forgive her of her sins. And so what I would like to do is I would like to sing a solo that I used to sing for my aunt. And I said, "Yes." And she sung this sweet solo about the grace of God that just all through that cemetery. I thought, what an incredible moment of a woman, a niece, sharing a song that she used to sing to try to encourage her aunt. And I wonder if maybe that might be our struggle, that we wonder, are we good enough? Do we have to be perfect to be loved? And we need to remember that all of these stories about this person of Jesus are leading up to understanding who it is that dies on the cross. And that this one who dies on the cross is man's perfect God and God's perfect man. And the reason that he died, he didn't die for some of your sins or most of your sins. Jesus was slain on that cross for all of your sins. He died for all of your sins. There is not anything that you could have ever said or done wrong, or the good that you may have not have done, that is beyond the grace of God. Do you see this woman this morning? Do you see her, Simon? And so we need to ask ourselves as we read any story or listen to any story, who are we in the story? Are we the Pharisee? Are we the one who in our pride or arrogance cannot bow before God and confess our own sinfulness? Would we dare to think that it's by how much good we do? And yet, surely we would know. If you lived 1,000 lifetimes, you could never do enough deeds to merit God's grace to you. It has to be by grace, because none of us could ever do everything perfectly, could we? So how could we ever look down on somebody else? Are you the Pharisee? Are you the prostitute? Are you the one who is so filled with gratitude and appreciation and love because you know in your own story it is only by God's grace that you stand right now before this holy and perfect God who forgave and forgives because of Jesus dying the debt you could never pay? Are you Jesus? Are you sometimes, because you're a Christ follower, humiliated and insulted because of what you believe and what you proclaim and what you teach and how you live your life, whether it be in church or in your business place, that you are a person who seeks to do good, but sometimes you're insulted, you're humiliated. But in spite of that, you can see this woman, that there are those who would do anything, make any effort to come into the presence of Christ to say, "Thank you, thank you." There is not hardly a week that goes by that I do not sit down and talk with a sinful woman. It's like what you read in this story. This past week, I sat out on a front porch for 2 hours with a woman in her mid-60s. To hear her story, I wanted to know her story. Baptized into Christ when she was 12 years old. Raised in a Christian family. 7 siblings in that family raised in the churches of Christ. She became pregnant when she was 21 with her first child. Had that baby out of wedlock. 2 years later, she has another child. Her mother encouraged her to put that child up for adoption, of which she did. And that child has been raised within that extended family. And for many years, up until when that young man was a teenager, he did not know his biological mother was within that family. She told me when that second child was born that the man who fathered that child fathered 3 other children in that same year, one of which was a 16-year-old girl. And that man divorced his wife, who was at that time pregnant, to marry that 16-year-old girl. She told me that she's never been in a church service since that second child was born. Never been there. Not once in over 40 years. Do you see this woman? What would you say to that woman? What would you say to her? What do you think I said to her? You don't have to guess. You know what I said to that woman. Do you see this woman? Simon, do you see her? Do you see her? We all need, all of us, not only before God, but before all the people we encounter and meet, that we need to be like Jesus and see that people want to know mercy. They want to know grace, and they want to know forgiveness. And when they do, you will hear what Jesus said to Simon. Do you see this woman? I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loves much. For he who has been forgiven little, loves little. And you know now why Luke tells that story. Because the people are all upset when Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Who is this? Who is this? See, that's what we all are confronted with. Who would dare forgive sins? Who would put oneself in the place of God and say, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Who would dare say that? Where's the claim? And that's why you need to read the story of Luke to come to know, who is this? But may we all hear what that woman heard in that moment again of grace as she walks away what Jesus has said to her. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Oh, isn't that what we want? We want peace. If you need to come, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?